This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We witness that none has the right of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we send our loving greetings, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. Ameen. والحمد لله. Alhamdulillah, this is the last Jumu'ah, bi'idhnillah, before the commencement of the month of Ramadan. Next week, this time, inshallah, may we all be there, and we would be fasting during the waqt of Jumu'ah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to reach the month of Ramadan, and to achieve all of its benefits. This lecture, inshallah, just that last bit of reminders and readiness, so that we can get the maximum benefit of the month of Ramadan, and we'll discuss a few issues, and inshallah, hopefully not too long, a lot of things to discuss. I've been getting a few questions about Ramadan, and just reminder on some of the fiqh aspects, what breaks your fast, what do I do if I'm pregnant, all those kind of questions. We try to answer them, inshallah, in this short lecture. To begin, as we enter the month of Ramadan, or the fasting of the month of Ramadan, of course, is an act of worship. Fasting is an act of worship. And the very first thing when that fast begins, we know that in every act of worship, the very first thing is the niyyah needs to be correct. The niyyah, or your intention, must be correct. So that the foundation is right, then everything will be right afterwards. And if the foundation is wrong, then the entire thing collapses. Now, niyyah isn't just that thing which we, the intention to fast. It is not just that I will be fasting tomorrow or in the month of Ramadan, and the thing that we say before the night ends in the month of Ramadan. Rather, the niyyah is the objective. And so before we begin the month of Ramadan, we must have a clear objective. Why are we fasting? What is the reason? What is the outcome? The only way to know if our fasting is successful in the day of Eid is to know what we were planning on achieving before the month began. And Allah tells us what we're supposed to achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in this verse, which we, by now, all of us are hafidh, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O those of you who believe, Allah has made fasting compulsory on you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as Allah made it compulsory on all the nations before, every single ummah before us, they had to fast, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that at the end of fasting, you can achieve taqwa. You know, many times you're asked, what is the wisdom and the benefits of fasting? There are many benefits of fasting. In another verse, Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you may become appreciative of your blessings. But the most important objective of fasting is to attain taqwa. Now, what is taqwa? Taqwa is basically a strengthened relationship with Allah, to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so by the month of Ramadan, we are supposed to become better people at the end of Ramadan. We're supposed to be more aware and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this process of denying the things that we love, our food, our drink, our intimacy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, this means that we have placed our spirituality and our love for Allah above the love of anything else. And subhanAllah, you're denying yourself of a sip of water because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do so. That tells you truly. We don't just say, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are the greatest. We don't just say it with our lips. We actually mean it and we live it. And that is why every single Muslim that goes through the month of Ramadan, even if, you know, we didn't have many khatams or didn't make too much taraweeh, if you fasted the month sincerely, you know, when you feel come to the end of the month of Ramadan, you feel different, you know, you feel that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is taqwa. That is what our objective is. And so before we even begin the month of Ramadan, we make that niyyah, Ya Allah, allow us to fast the month correctly in a way that pleases you, so that we may attain taqwa. May we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a better sense of spirituality at the end of the month. Also in the ayah, Surah Baqarah, of ayah 125, Allah says, yuridullah bikum al-yusra, Allah wants to make it easy for you, wala yuridu bikum al-usra, and He doesn't want to make it difficult. The point of fasting is not to torture your body. Allah wants it to be easy and not difficult. وَلِتُكْمِلُ عِدَّةً, but He wants you to complete the full month. You have to keep the 30 days. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, so that you may magnify and glorify Allah, what He has given you. SubhanAllah. Allah is saying that when you're done with the month of Ramadan, you make the takbir. You know, at the Eid, when the day of Eid comes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We praise Allah. We finish the month, Ya Allah. Why are we making takbir? Because Allah says, what I have given you. You didn't do anything. The month of Ramadan was a gift for you. It wasn't an obligation you gave to me. Rather, it is a gift, alama, that you may praise Allah for what He has given you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and that at the end of the month, hopefully, you, لَعَلَّ means hopefully, meaning not everyone will achieve it, but hopefully that you would become appreciative of all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And so, with that niyyah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a successful month of Ramadan. Then we continue quickly the virtues of the month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, we can spend weeks talking about all the virtues and the bonuses and the blessings. And really, SubhanAllah, there is no bonus, there is no month in which you can get so many rewards like the month of Ramadan. And in our life, in our context of our life, where we know we have a lot of sins, our deeds are not good enough, this is that one month which we can catch up. You know, many of the scholars say that this one month makes up for the other 11 months of the year that were not done very well. But really, one month of Ramadan that is done correctly, it can make up for a lifetime of mistakes. It can really fix a life that is ruined completely. One Ramadan, these 30 days can fix your entire life. For example, we know that there are multiple chances, whoever fasts, the Prophet says, whoever stands in Salah, whoever stands in the night of Laylatul Qadr, if you do, there's so many avenues in which every single sin, every lie you've told, everything that you looked at that was haram, every mistake you've made in your life, Allah can forgive every single sin in these 30 days. And there is, we know that there is one night whose reward, Laylatul Qadr, where it is better than 83 years of reward. Your entire life, you would not be equal to that one night of Salah. That, we know in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the fast is so big and so amazing and the reward is so great that Allah doesn't even specify the reward. That is the only act of worship where the only way to be rewarded, Allah will personally give a reward to every single fasting person. That one day of fasting is a barrier between you and Jahannam for 70 years. 70 years away from the fire of Jahannam. And that one day of fasting in Ramadan is better than fasting the entire, every single day of your life. The other hadith that we know, that the doors of Jannah opened. What does this mean? The analogy, very, you know, SubhanAllah, we can't even make an analogy. It is like the bank saying that the doors of the bank are open. You have 30 days to take as much money, as much as you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the rewards are open. Whoever wants Jannah, it is there for whoever wants to get it. There's no barrier between you. And this is the month where our decrees will be finalized for the year, where the du'as are accepted, where just standing in Taraweeh, for example, will count that your entire night was in Taraweeh. And so SubhanAllah, this is so many opportunities. And just to give a date to someone and he breaks his fast, you get that same, that full day of reward. Remember we said one day is like 70 years being saved from Jahannam. You give one person a date and he breaks his fast, SubhanAllah, you get that reward without his reward being diminished. And so Allah has made this opportunity unlike any other opportunity. And so, you know, it should encourage us that we put our best foot forward and we try our best to get the maximum on the month of Ramadan. That everything else should be secondary now. That every bit of energy and all our focus should be, Ya Allah, I want to get every blessing and bounty that there is in this month of Ramadan. May Allah grant it to us. Ameen. Then, when does the month begin? SubhanAllah, as we know, the Iman takers, our scholars will go out and they will look for the moon. Once they see the moon, of course, the month of Ramadan would begin. And so we fast, as an amazing fast, when the community fasts. We will fast when the whole community of, in Cape Town fasts, and we'll break our fast with Southern Africa. And of course, the day of Eid, we'll all keep Eid together. And certain questions with regards to fasting, the fiqh side of things. So the niyyah, the niyyah has to be the niyyah means the intention to fast before the day begins, or rather before Fajr comes in, before the waqt of Fajr comes in. You must be sure in your heart that you will be fasting that day. And what do we mean? Say for example, the mankakers saw the moon and it's Ramadan, but you didn't know. And then, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you go to your friend and he says, Slamat, it's Ramadan, Mubarak to you. And you say, oh, is it Ramadan? Oh, SubhanAllah, I didn't even know. I'm not fasting, but Alhamdulillah, I didn't eat anything. So I'm just going to continue the day. No, this does not count. You missed the day of fasting. No punishment on you. It was a mistake. But your niyyah was not there. So you need to have that niyyah before Fajr in your heart that I'm fasting today for the month of Ramadan. Of course, as I said many times, there is no need to verbalize it. You don't have to say, now way to Sawm Qadim. That's not important. That's not required in the Sharia. But you need to have the firm intention in your heart. I'm going to fast when the waqt of Fajr comes in. Something very interesting. On the days where you have the option not to fast. Now, certain people, they have the option not to fast. For example, someone who's traveling. If he's traveling, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, then once he's a traveler, he can break his fast. Now, if he wants to fast that day, he must make that decision before Fajr. He needs to say, even though I'm traveling, I rather want to fast. Then he has to make that decision. He can't decide, well, I'm going to see. And if
you know, the traveling is easy, then I'm going to fast. No, you must be sure you want to fast. And so be very careful with regards to that. Now, as I mentioned, some people are excused. Some people do not have to fast. Some people have an exemption. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He doesn't want to make it difficult. He wants to make it easy. And for some people, they have a legitimate reason not to fast. So who are these people that are excused? There are those who have a permanent excuse, meaning they will never ever be able to fast. And these people pay a fidya. They feed a person a fidya. When you say pay fidya, what does this mean? You basically feed someone that is hungry a meal, one meal. So one person, one meal for each day that you must. So you need to feed 30 people, one meal each, or one person, 30 meals, whatever it might be. That is your expiation for not fasting the month of Ramadan. And who are the permanently excused people? People that are too old to fast. So obviously with time will only get older. And people who have an illness that is not curable. And you know, Allah grant shifa, but they have a disease that there is no expectation. It's not expected that they'll be cured. So what they do is either they, you know, pay an amount to a masjid or to Sanzaf, and then as fidya, you stipulate it's fidya, or even better, subhanAllah, it's always better, you actually make some food and you give it to someone that is hungry, and they eat, and every meal is one day. You can do this upfront. You can say, I'm going to feed 30 people on day one, or every day I'm going to feed someone else, or at the end of the month I'm going to pay the fidya for all 30 days. You can do as you wish. So that's the one type of person. They pay fidya if they have a permanent excuse. As for those who have a temporary excuse, there's a temporary reason. For example, they were only sick for a few days. Or the lady who has a hayd, her hayd comes and then it goes. The person who is traveling, he travels and then he will stop traveling. For these people, they do not get to pay fidya. And so they will have to make the day up after the month of Ramadan. So they will count for the days that I've missed because I was sick, 3, 4, 5 days, then you will make those days up in the next year. You can choose a time which is suitable to you. Now, in terms of, so two people, a traveler and a sick person. Who is a traveler? So once you become a traveler, you can decide whether to fast or not. Once you have the status, you are now a traveler. Once you are a traveler, you can decide, should I fast or not fast? When does one become a traveler? You become a traveler if you embark on a journey that is away from your city or your home, at least 85 kilometers. So the distance between your city and your destination should be 85 kilometers or more. And once you have come to your, so if I'm going from Cape Town to Johannesburg, I'm a traveler because it's more than 85 kilometers. Once I arrive in Johannesburg, once you arrive at your destination, you must ask yourself, will I be staying in this destination 4 days or more? If the answer is yes, once you get to Joburg, you land in Joburg, so you ask yourself, was the journey more than 85 kilometers? If it's yes, okay, I was a traveler. Number two, once I arrive at my destination, am I still a traveler? If you're going to stay in that city or that location for 4 days or more, then from the moment you arrive at your destination, you are no longer a traveler and you must fast. But if you're going to stay in Joburg for only 3 days, then the entire 3 days you are a traveler. Again, I repeat this. If you're staying in Joburg for 7 days, for a week, when you get to Joburg, you ask yourself, will I be here more than 4 days? If the answer is yes, I will be here for more than 4 days, then from the minute you land, you become a non-traveler. You're not a traveler anymore. You are a resident to Johannesburg and you must fast. You don't wait after 4 days and then you from day one. But if you are going to be in Joburg for less than 4 days, then the entire 3 days or 3.5 days, you are still regarded as a traveler. You can decide if you want to fast or not fast. It doesn't matter if the travel is easy or difficult. Sharia doesn't bother with that, whether it's foot or by plane or by car. It doesn't matter. You decide once you're a traveler what to do. As for the other person who has a temporary excuse, this is a person who is sick. And sickness means that if fasting will harm your health, you know, if you are sick already, and fasting will make the sickness worse, or fasting will make the sickness prolonged, or fasting will make you sick in a way where, you know, obviously fasting is uncomfortable for some people. You know, you'll be hungry and you'll feel fatigued. That is not sickness. But if it will harm your health and a doctor tells you not to fast, or you can assess this is not good for me, then you are compelled not to fast. Then you should take the ruhsa, the allowance Allah has given you, and don't fast that day. And so subhanAllah, even if during the day you were healthy and then towards the middle part of the day you've really, you know, you fell over, you're dehydrated and you need to, you know, drink something, then you break your fast, subhanAllah. And then Allah has allowed that for you. If you did not do that, you are torturing your body, this haram. And then you make the day up in the next, you know, once the month of Ramadan is over, you decide when you want to make the day up, as soon as possible, and you make up those missed days of fasting. Then, very specifically, with breastfeeding ladies and pregnant ladies. Now, when one is pregnant, obviously fasting can be detrimental to your health or to the baby. And so it is not recommended for the lady who is pregnant to fast. And so she is like someone who has a temporary excuse. So she does not fast. And sometimes, subhanAllah, the whole month she will not fast. But she should assess each day how she feels. Then also the breastfeeding lady. Similarly, if a lady breastfeeds and she fasts, now it might not harm her if she fasts. Her milk might dry up, and or it might be difficult on her to breastfeed and fast. And she will assess each day. Some days she might feel, I can fast and breastfeed. Remember, breastfeeding does not break your fast. So you can breastfeed and fast, no problem. But if by fasting it will harm you, or it will stop you from producing milk, you'll become dry, then you may break your fast. Now, what happens is you find ladies, they are pregnant 1 year, then they're breastfeeding for another 2 years, then subhanAllah they're pregnant again. So 4 or 5 years have gone by where she's missed 5 or 6 Ramadans. What does she do? Unfortunately, there is no fidya that she can pay. She needs to make up those days. And so, you know, as best she can, she should try when she's healthy again to make up those days. Maybe once a week she'll fast one day. And so over a number of years, she will finish up that remainder. Is there a cutoff? So say for example, Ramadan 2021, I was sick for 3 days and so I didn't fast. No problem, alhamdulillah. So now I have 3 days owed to Allah. Is there a limit when I should fast them? Of course, before I die. This has to be done because if you die and you have days owing, it's a major sin. It's a debt that you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one of the pillars of Islam. So you need to do it as soon as possible. But the Sharia allows you to decide when you want to. So if you want to say, you know, I want to wait until it's holiday time, or it's winter when the days are short, I want to fast in those days, you can do that. But remember, if you delay it until even the next, so if I delay until Ramadan 2022, so a whole year went by, and I had no reason for delaying for so long, then I need to make the day up, plus I need to pay a fidya. As some scholars have mentioned, you pay a fidya, like a penalty for being so late. Again, what is the fidya? You feed one hungry person, one meal, but you still have to fast the day. So remember, you fast the day, you make up the day that is owed, plus you need to pay a fidya as a penalty for going over that year. This is the view of the majority of the scholars, and subhanAllah, Allah knows best. Again, this will happen perhaps after the month of Ramadan, when we have the 6 days of Shawwal. It will be asked, can we fast our days that we owed Ramadan, our skilt, and can we fast the 6 days of Shawwal together? Fasting with one niyyah, majority of scholars have allowed it, and the Shafi Madhab here in Cape Town, which is practiced, has permitted that you can join a sunnah, a fasting with a farad fasting. Now, next question, what breaks my fast? What breaks my fast and what does not break my fast? So, the things that break your fast, to eat deliberately or to drink deliberately, meaning purposefully, or anything which is like eating or drinking. So for example, if you eat or drink, of course this will break your fast if it's done deliberately, knowledgeable, or you take an injection or a drip or something and it's like eating because it nourishes your body, anything that nourishes your body, then this would be your fast breaks. If you make yourself vomit deliberately, so if you vomit by accident, your fast is fine, you continue fasting, you know. But if you vomit deliberately, you force yourself to vomit, this breaks your fast. If you sexually arouse yourself and you ejaculate, you know, this is deliberately in the day of Ramadan, this will break your fast. If you do cupping or you extract blood is extracted from yourself deliberately again. So obviously if you fell and you injured yourself and you bleed, that's not a problem. But if you have blood removed from your body deliberately, this will break your fast. Now obviously some people will ask, what if I need to go for a blood test? Well, you were sick. Obviously if you're going for a blood test, there's a reason why. And you were sick, and that's inshallah, you will make the day up, no problem. If you have sex during the month of Ramadan, during the day, of course this breaks the day of fasting. And for the lady, if she's in a haid, or she's bleeding, menstruating, then this of course will break the fast. So if Aisha was fasting, and then 3 o'clock the afternoon, then she sees she has fallen out, that day is spoiled, and then she will have to make that day up, you know, after Ramadan. Of course, the reward for her is still there. There's no reward is taken away. So what happens if you break your fast deliberately? You have no excuse. You weren't sick, you weren't a traveler, you were just naughty and you ate, you know, something during the day deliberately, or you had intercourse during the day. What do you do? Well, this is a major, major sin. Remember, you have violated a pillar of the pillars of Islam, and your Islam really becomes now, it really harms your Islam. So it's a major sin, and you need to make sincere and strong tawbah. And you know, subhanAllah, even if Allah forgives you for that sin, to something to think about, the reward of one day of Ramadan is better than a lifetime of fasting. If you fasted 100 years, the reward you get for that would not be equal to that one day, and that reward is probably lost, you know, for the one who breaks his fast deliberately. So it's really a serious mistake to break your fast. And on top of it, so if you broke your fast deliberately, then you need to make tawbah, you need to make istighfar, and you need to make up that day. You need to fast that one day outside of Ramadan. However, if you broke your fast because of sex, you slept with your wife, وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْنِي وَنْ سُوَنْ to think about with someone that you're not married, you committed zina, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, then not only do you have to make that one day up and make tawbah, you actually need to fast for 60 days consecutively. In reality, what you should do is you should buy and free a slave, but alhamdulillah, we don't have slaves anymore, alhamdulillah for that. Then plan B, you need to fast 60 consecutive days, 60 days one after the other, to pay for that day that you broke. And if you can't do that, then that person, you feed 60 people as your fidya for that one day, for each day that you broke in Ramadan because of intercourse, you need to fast 60 days. SubhanAllah, some people, may Allah guide them, they, you know, broke multiple 5 or 10 days in Ramadan, they slept with a partner during the month of Ramadan, so they need to do 600 days, you know, 60 times 10, 600 days of fasting, SubhanAllah, just to get the kafara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing that we mention, that what things, more contemporary stuff, what things do not, so those things break your fast, eating deliberately, ejaculating deliberately, sex, nourishing your body, menstruation, those things break your fast, vomiting deliberately, what does not break your fast? If you eat and drink, unconsciously, you didn't realize you had a cup, you know, you had a sip of water, and you realize, oh subhanAllah, I was fasting. Of course, alhamdulillah, Allah has fed you, and Allah has given you rizq, and it was a mistake. You just continue fasting, your day is fine. Even, subhanAllah, many times people come, there's many humorous questions in the books of fiqh. Someone comes and he said, yeah Allah, I ate so much, you know, I had a whole feast, and then I realized I was fasting. No problem, alhamdulillah, your fasting is fine. If you vomit or you bleed accidentally, this does not break your fast. If you accidentally ejaculate, for example, you're sleeping in the middle of the day, you wake up and then you had a wet dream, no problem, you continue fasting. Cutting nails or hair, there is this misconception that if I cut my nails or my hair during the day in Ramadan, my fasting is broken. No, not at all. That, don't get confused, that is ihram. When you're in ihram, you can't cut your nails and hair. But fasting, nothing to do with that, you can cut your nails and hair. Wearing perfume, again, only ihram is a problem, but for fasting, it does not break your fast. Someone asks, what about bathing, showering, brushing your teeth? All these things are permissible while fasting, but you need to take a lot of care that you do not swallow. So if you know, in the shower or you're swimming, and maybe obviously not advisable, if you don't need to swim, you know, then don't swim during the month of Ramadan, or in the day in the Ramadan. Bathing, you have to bathe, and of course brushing your teeth, we do this, and the Prophet ﷺ used the miswak during the month of Ramadan, but of course take a lot of care not to swallow. Even if you have the taste, so when you brush your teeth with toothpaste, for example, you'll get the taste, but make a strong effort not to swallow any of that water or that toothpaste. More controversial issues, eye drops, nose drops, ointments. Ointments, inshallah, does not break your fast, you know. Ointments do not break your fast. Eye drops do not break your fast either. Ear drops, inshallah, do not break your fast. But of course, these are all gray areas. And if you can avoid them, you can use your drops and your ointments before, during the night, this is better. But the majority of you is that this does not break your fast, because anything which enters the eye or the ear or the skin is not counted as eating. It does not count as eating. And so this does not count. However, anything which goes through the mouth and the nose, this is counted as eating. And therefore, nose drops, you know, asthma pumps, sprays, you know, these kind of things, very, very dangerous. And the majority of scholars have linked this would break your fast. So be very careful with anything that goes through your nose or your mouth. Any kind of sprays or drops through the mouth or the nose breaks your fast. Of course, smoking, we all know. Smoking, vaping, hookah, all of that would break your fast, of course, if you do so during the day in the month of Ramadan. Injections. Injections are of two types. There's a type that nourishes the body, an injection that feeds the body. This kind of injection would break your fast. Now, subhanAllah, I know there's vaccines currently happening and people need to consider. Again, if you can avoid these things during the day, you have it at night, it's better. Or if you can delay it, you need to make the judgment how serious it is. and you need to weigh the importance, but of course a vaccination most likely would break your fast. However, as I understand, and perhaps a doctor can clarify this if it counts as a nourishment from that perspective, but then there are also injections which have no nourishing factors. You know, this is like something which numbs your skin. In this kind of case, this does not break your fast. This does not break your fast. But of course, again, best to avoid any kind of injections. It's a gray area. Best to do these things outside of the day. Now, when we enter the month of Ramadan, remember, the niyyah is that we want to achieve the success and we want to do this properly. It's also not just about fasting. Of course, it's a month of worship. And fasting is not just about what you put in your body. Of course, it is what comes out of the body. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, remember, he says, whoever does not give up evil speech or lies, he does not give up lying or evil speech, then Allah is not in need of him giving up his food and drink. And so we should be very careful about avoiding as the sins during the month of Ramadan. So it's not just about, you know, subhanAllah, if that which is halal, your food, your drink, your wife, is haram for you during the day, then how much more haram is looking at haram, going to websites of the haram, listening to things that are haram, speaking things that are haram. So that added emphasis of not doing haram is really the key ingredient as well in terms of attaining the taqwa. That's during the day, of course, during the night as well. But of course, the night, this is the nights of Ramadan are the nights that are the best nights of the year for salah. And people ask a lot about qiyamul layl and tahajjud. What's the difference? Any salah done after Maghrib is qiyamul layl. Qiyamul layl literally means salah at night. So any salah that is done basically after sunset is qiyamul layl. Taraweeh, of course, as we know, is that salah which we do after Isha, which was done, is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many masajid are either going to have taraweeh or not going to have taraweeh because of the pandemic. We don't know. In fact, it is better. And it is better for us to make salah at home for taraweeh. For the men, if you're able to, you know, Isha, of course, you make in the jama'ah. But we know any sunnah salah, whether it's tahajjud, whether it's taraweeh, it is best to do it at home. Maybe, you know, getting the family together. And as a family, you perform taraweeh, either 8 raka'ahs or 20 raka'ahs, or whatever is easiest for you, 2 raka'ahs, 25 raka'ahs, 26, whatever it might be. You perform whatever is easiest for you. But it is good to do your taraweeh if you can at home. If not, then go to the masjid, it's fine. Then, of course, there's a special qiyamul layl, which is the qiyamul layl in the last third of the night, which is called tahajjud. This is the best time of the night. So the night, the best time to make salah, qiyamul layl, is the last third of the night before Fajr, right? Maybe from 3 o'clock the morning until Fajr. This is the best time. And the dua, that is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a manner which befits His majesty. He comes down and He asks who is here to make dua, to ask for anything. So I may give them, who wishes to be forgiven their sins. So I may forgive them. And so this is in every single night, not just in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. But of course, in the month of Ramadan, it's even more special. And then of course, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, one of those nights is Laylatul Qadr, the reward better than 1,000 months. And so, as best we can, we should really plan every single night. We should do some type of qiyamul layl. Also, of course, it's the month of the Quran, so do a lot to get more acquainted with the Quran, whether it is reciting, memorizing, doing tafsir, reading the English, anything which makes you closer to the Quran, let that be your objective. So those are the key ingredients for Ramadan. And of course, charity. If, subhanAllah, if you have not paid your zakah for the year, then make sure you pay your zakah. If you have any haram money, then you should stop now. Any interest, we've spoken about this many, many times, subhanAllah. You don't want to be the guy that, you know, your fast is so beautiful and your qiyamul layl is so beautiful, but in the background you have interest that is earning money, you have investments which are haram. As you are standing in ibadah, as you are fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting against you your riba. And we know that hadith that the man will come and he is very sincere and he's desperate and he's, you know, disheveled, he's all over and he's begging Allah, you know, he's really desperate, he's begging Allah. But Allah says that his food is haram, his money is haram, his clothes are haram, his body is nourished with haram. How will Allah accept from this man? And this is one of the barriers to our ibadah, is when we have haram money, you know, to our name. So we should get rid of these things before the month of Ramadan. Another thing which really prevents us from achieving the full reward of a good deed is where we've harmed someone, we've wronged them. And so one of the first steps as we enter the month of Ramadan is to make peace with people. If there's anyone that's upset you, you had an argument with your sister, you had an argument with a customer, you had an argument with your boss, you know, say, make maaf, make peace. Let that not be the thing. You know, subhanAllah, your Jannah is in this month of Ramadan. You don't want a petty argument to be the thing which blocks you from your Jannah. You know, be the bigger person. Say, you know, I'm sorry. And subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and have mercy upon us. And so, with these short advices and short words, we can perhaps talk more about Zakatul Fitr as we get close to the month of Ramadan, Itikaf. If it would even happen this year, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it for those who are able to do so. Really, there's certain rules attached to that. But inshaAllah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the blessings and the tawfiq to fast correctly and properly, to grant us the strength and the ability to fast in a way which pleases Him. May Allah grant us to achieve the full benefit and the reward of the month of Ramadan. Remember, it's never about the quantity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at if you did 10, 50, 100 khatams or 10, 50, 100 raka'as. Our ibadah will never be enough to achieve the reward. You know, it will never be equal to the reward. The best we can do is to have a sincere niyyah, to be sincere. And so to find those quiet moments in this month where we can just be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, thank Him for all His blessings, thanking Him for guiding us to Islam, subhanAllah. Just to think about context here in South Africa, how many people are not Muslim and are not having the benefit? Like, the month comes and goes and they didn't even fast one day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then how many people, subhanAllah, that we know that passed away through this pandemic, how much they would have loved to be here to fast just one day. SubhanAllah, if we can ask the people of the Qubur, if they could get one day of fasting, what they would do, what they would give, they would sell the dunya 10 times over just to receive that opportunity that we have. And we know that we might not get another opportunity. We have death all around us. We don't know if we might get the opportunity again. So take this Ramadan as our last Ramadan, and we just need to do it correctly to attain Jannah. May Allah grant that for all of us. May Allah grant shifa to those who are sick, Jannatul Fir those who have passed away. Kullu amun nabi khair. May Allah bless us with a blessed Ramadan. Jazakallah khair wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Just one announcement. InshaAllah, Masjid Burhanul Islam, you of course in the book app, and at our center in Pent Street, we will be having a Ramadan market on Sunday. This Sunday, the 11th of April, whatever we raise funds, inshallah, it's part of our soup kitchen and our social welfare. So there's a lot of activities. So please support us. If you'd like to support any of our other projects, the Buka Treats, which we sell, our online programs, or our orphan programs, whatever we're doing, inshallah, if you wish to participate, please assist us with your time or with financial support. But at the very least, make dua for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the goodness. Amin. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.